Hello, sir.
Hey, you okay?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, just literally getting in the door. Armed robbery mode, getting the car back. I knew you were going to call.
Well, you might not know, Dave, but Arsenal have just scored.
Oh, have they?
Right in injury time.
Is Ollie Hawkins playing? No?
No.
Okay. Well, that's my interest in it over.
No, I don't think it is. To be fair, I'm doing a show. I'm trying to be professional. It's not like it was at the BBC when we could, you know, we had it on a thing, we could have a look, and Caroline used to go, well, we're playing. But here we go. So, Dave, just tell me you've been at the physio. What's up?
No, I went to see Gary. I thought I had a hernia, but apparently I haven't. So I just went and had a scan. So he to be fair, he's tapped my eyes. He said, just come in, I'll do it. But he changed it from 6 to 7:30. Which sort of, you know, he can't sort of argue when he's doing it for nothing.
So, can you get a hernia from drinking Guinness?
Well, you should know the answer to that.
Yeah, well, listen, I've just said to Dave, when he said to me he's at the physio, I went, oh no, I went, I've got an operation booked next Thursday on my knee.
Have you?
Yeah, I've not even done anything. I didn't know I'd done it, but I've torn my medial and my meniscus.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone, he's laughed.
It's that Guinness, he's got to put his Guinness up. Get him back. Try and get him back, he's got a dead spot in his ass.
I think my signal might be great here, you know.
That's okay, mate. Yeah, no, I've got. Yeah, I've not done that, so I've not been on the training ground too much. So, I've done it through. I played a charity game a while ago, and I didn't know nothing about it. And so I'm going for an operation at my age.
Oh, I'll be out. You both for a while,
Keith. Well, maybe, but I've got to get it done soon, Dave, because golf starts.
Well, thank you. Listen, that's me. I've played today. Actually, that's my thing. I love it. You know.
Yeah, you've done well playing today with the weather.
Our course is really wet, but it's my sort of thing now. I just go and play. I love it. So I went and had a few holes with my mate just messing around, but get you out. So it's my gym, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, I know. 100% do agree with that. But obviously now you're not managing that. Your handicap must have come right down.
You would think, wouldn't you? No is the short answer.
No. So tell us what you've been doing, Dave. Obviously with. Obviously, you've stepped down with managing, and we've just been talking to obviously Corinthian with their FA Vars, obviously games and obviously the trophies, the semi final with a man that obviously is the holding manager of the FA Vars. You know what it's all about at this time of the year.
I couldn't believe that last Saturday was the quarterfinals. It was like a fortnight ago we were playing ours away at West Auckland. You know, it's just, it's flown in as a year. But I can only sort of talk about our own experience. We went to West Auckland and beat probably the favourites, them and Cray, I'm going to say, were the favourites at that time. But to go up there, Darlington, and beat them up there was an unbelievable performance. I remember it well. I remember we went 2-0 up early, and second half was like the Alamo. You know, it was just we broke away and should have really killed the game off a couple of times and didn't, but it sort of told me my team had got that within them where they could defend their box and stand up and be counted. And we hadn't really been asked that question a lot of times in the league, so it was good to know the answer to it. And that was the day on the way back, having a few beers in the train. It was a shock. And I remember saying to the staff quietly, I said, you know, we've a chance in this now. You know, it was the first time I thought, you know, we could do all right. And, you know, I was like sort of 7 games in or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great times because of the result. But, you know, it's like, Keith, the further up the mountain you go, the more nervous it can be. And the fact that you've been up the mountain a few times before helps to a degree, but you're still nervous and it still carries all those sort of worries. And but magnificent times that you'll never forget.
Certainly as well. And obviously, you know, your old clubs are having an absolute great season as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I've been to see, I've been, been to see Churchy a couple of times, and Kev's done a great job. That they're in and around the playoffs after promotion. And I think what people don't realise as well is that he's done that carrying the hangover of last year. And people might think that sounds stupid, but it takes you a long time to get over the sort of year we had. And and so I really think that what they've done is, it is actually better than what it is. I know that sounds stupid, but to carry that sort of hangover of winning the league in the Vaz and still produce a performances that get you in and around the playoffs of the next division, it's excellent. Doing a great job, as I thought he would. And it's a football club that I'm very proud of, where it was when we walked in the door until where it was the last time I walked in the door. So good. Yeah, really good. And I've also been to see, that's what I would do now, Keith. I go and watch sort of like games locally, or, you know, pop in. And Dean Brannan I've been to see a few times because he's on the doorstep. He's one of my own players. Wilson are flying. It's a real good atmosphere there. Too much Guinness, but that's another story. And I've been to see Hendon, Harrow, I think Barnet. I've been all around locally and thoroughly enjoyed it. It's brilliant watching football, Keith, without worrying.
Oh, great, thanks. Have you missed it though, Dave, really?
No.
Oh, that's great.
No. Well, I swear this is true. If I could be a manager up until 10 to 3, I wouldn't retire. I hated the games, you know, and the older I got, the more I hated them. Yeah, it's just too stressful. But we all care about it, you know. People, and they've been doing this other sort of series called The Gaffer Tips. You're on the list, don't worry about that.
Okay.
And it's one on one with managers, and, you know, of all levels, I've been fortunate enough of Ian Evatt the other week, who's top of the conference, all the way down, you know, different levels, and there's lots of common denominators. And one of them is that people think we're bulletproof.
Yeah.
People think that we don't care. We no matter what happens, we're out that night having a few beers and partying, if you like. And when you speak to these people, every manager I've spoke to has spoken to me about how it's affected them. You know, some a lot more than others. But painful, and the mood, and taking it home. I'm enjoying that. That's really interesting as well, you know.
Yeah.
So, but as far as missing it, no, don't miss it at all, promise you.
It's funny how you say that, to be fair, Dave, because, I've been doing it quite a while, and, my missus goes, you know, to me, she said something to me the other week that for the first time made me sort of sit there and go, do you know what? You're right, you know, football takes over my life. I've got two boys, one's 12 and one's 11, and they both play, and, one's at VCD, and I think the people know one plays for Phoenix, and they're both, okay footballers. And she went to me, do you know, for once you might need to put them first instead of yourself. And sometimes things at home, and certain people say stuff to you, and I do watch their games as much as I can, but even still, I think what happens on my Saturday game sort of transports my mood over the weekend. Sometimes you don't put them before you, even though you go and watch as a token. And she's 100% right. And I sat there and thought, oh wow, you know, she is right. And you know, it is that, you know, I do like having a beer after a game and things like that, and I go out with my mates on a Sunday after my kids' games. But I do actually, you know, and it sort of made me sit there and think, wow, hold on a minute, she might be right, yeah. So
I think it's in you to be, the old saying is you have to be who you are. Yeah. You know, that I've yet to meet a manager who doesn't care about it, you know, and I've met a few in my time, you know. But what I would say is that, you know, when I retired the first time after Harrow, to teach you away the unwind from it all, I was still doing the non-league show, still do that, which is your interest. But my wife said to me, you know, your skin's a better colour, your mood's better, you're much more relaxed, you know. And then when the Churchy thing came up, it was like, I don't know. I don't even know what I said yesterday. I really don't know. I've no idea. I think somebody must have been looking after me, because I felt like I'd sort of crawled out the back door at Harrow. You know, the good thing for me now is, and I suppose I should keep bringing it up, the good thing for me now is that people remember, Kirksey, they've forgotten about Harrow. You know, that we were down the bottom of struggle for 3 years trying to keep them in the division. And when I left them, they, Steve Baker came in and absolutely pulled a miracle off and kept them up. Yeah. So people forget that. I haven't forgotten the pain, how painful that was. But to say yes to Churchy, and even my wife, when I said to her, look, what do you think of this? And she says, look, you know, it's your career. You're a better person in as much as you're not stressed. But the one promise I made when I went to Churchy was I wouldn't bring it home. You know, it wouldn't affect my life at home. I was trying to be a little bit more hobby as a, instead of we're all career minded. But in the end, you can only do it one way. I think the difference was at Churchy was I got a good team around me early, and then, you know, it's like Keith, when you're winning, it's a brilliant sport to be in.
Yeah.
Dressing rooms are nearly managed themselves, and stress wise, I was fine up until I'm going to say the last 32 of the Vars. I think when we went away to Earlham in Manchester, you felt that, you know, that all of a sudden these are big games again. But I felt I handled the situation much better, because winning is much more fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I mean, Dave, with the Vars itself this year, I mean, who do you see is going to be taking Churchy's crown?
That's a tough, tough question, Dave, because we don't, I mean, there's a couple of sides and I don't know even, you know. Hebburn, who just beat, I'm going to say Plymouth Parkway off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's true.
Hebburn were a big side last year. Get in and around. I think West Auckland might have beat them before we played West Auckland. So they're a side I'm aware of, and I'd expect them to do well. But the others I haven't got a great knowledge of, simply because there's 640 teams in it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you tend to keep track of the ones that you play against.
Mm-hmm. I know Crimpfield quite well, Dave, obviously being where they are, but just looking for Bitton to go and beat Wroxham 4-0.
Yes, that was the one that jumped out at me when I seen the results, because I couldn't tell you an awful lot about it. But you go to get to a game at this stage of the competition and do that away from home, you wouldn't want to be pulling them out of the hat.
Wroxham did have a player sent off in that game.
Yeah,
I did.
Yeah, but even still, I know the Keys have got all four goals as well, didn't he? Four of them as well.
Bishop.
But I think if I remember rightly, I think I've got things, but Bitton have done quite well in this competition before.
Yeah,
another big crowd there though, three short of 1,000.
Well, that's the other thing. The other thing when you get to this stage is that you're now effectively going to ask players of that level to perform in front of crowds they're not used to.
Yeah.
I was fine. I knew the players. My whole squad had all sort of played at a high level and had played in front of sort of twos and threes, 2000s before. So I always felt that was a real plus to us, that I knew we could handle that. I knew, you know, that I had a lot of experience. Because when you go into where they are now, there won't be a lot of people at the level who will have played in front of the crowds you're going to play in front of. Playing in such a big game, well, two-legged game, and I was sort of thinking, I think it's the only two-legged game I've ever played in non-league. I don't remember ever playing in a two-legged cup tie in all my whole time. You think about, Keith, how many two-legged games you've had in any competition in non-league football. It doesn't really happen, does it?
No, I remember, and again, funny story, our League Cup. The Kent League Cup was over two legs, and I remember, and the reason why I remember it, because the player that got me the winning goal was on some cooking program on TV the other week, Sammy Thomas, and who's a lovely man, and he's got a job.
Yeah.
And I remember we played Herne Bay. They were, and Jason Lillis was the manager, and we was at home at Thamesmead, and we lost 2-0 in the at home in the first leg, and we had to go down to Herne Bay midweek, and I remember him basically telling his lads that they were measuring up for suits, and we went and beat them 3-0. And Sam got the winner, and I remember him running off and grabbing me, and I remember that's the only two-legged game I think I've been involved in.
And it was one of them that, I mean, we did go to the Hartway, we beat Earlham away, then we had to go to West Auckland, beat them, and then we drew Northwich in the semis.
Yeah.
And you go, but to be fair, I do think that the Cray. Yeah, if I'm being honest, Cray, who we played in the final, I think were the best side we faced.
They had Canterbury, didn't they? Yeah.
Great side. And, you know, Mikey, I've watched the game back a couple of times. Well, a couple of times a week, if the truth be told. No, I've watched it back a couple of times, and, you know, we worked hard on what we were going to do, the game plan, it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
We worked hard on it, worked really hard on filling the middle of the pitch, and when I've watched the game back, we absolutely stuck to our guns, and if we hadn't, we'd get beaten.
Yeah.
You know, and even then, you know, they hit the bar in the last kick.
I was just about to say that to you. I was at the game, you know, as you know, and when they hit the bar.
Do you know what, Keith? I swear to you, on the day, it never bothered me, because I thought there was like 5 minutes left. I didn't realise until I watched the game back the following week, because I went away straight after to Spain, came back, watched the game about a week later, and I knew they had the bar, wouldn't they? Then I realised that a week later, sitting in my house, I shook. I absolutely couldn't believe it was the last kick in the game, you know? But, listen, the old saying of your name's on it, but they were a great side, and to beat them, I think they beat them, in extra time, and I thought in extra time we were the better side.
Yeah, you did get strong.
You know, but to beat them, you sort of go, well, listen, nobody can deny you that you deserve to win it with the teams we'd sort of knocked out. But it's a fantastic experience. You know, it's a great, great experience. And, you know, sort of, I spoke to the club, well, the Dave Rayner and Barney, the sort of football directors, before the semi-final, I'd pulled them and gone, look, no matter how it goes, I'm retiring at the end of the year. I knew if I couldn't enjoy this as much as I should, then it was time to go. I'd had a great time. So lucky to get to your last game to be where it was. You know?
Well, that's what I was just saying, though. Obviously, knowing you as I have, and obviously I know your character, and we mentioned a beer and whatever. You know, I stood there as you was walking around the ground with a cup at the end, and you know, seeing the expression on your face, and you know, I was lucky. I was in a box just behind the as you walked off. But you know, if you could, in your book that I'm sure that someone will write for you, because I know you wouldn't do it yourself, with a book that you could write to say the last drink you had winning at a ground walking out would be at Wembley Stadium, would be the icing on the cake in your book.
It's a film there.
The last beer you ever took in a ground, what was it?
The last drink?
Yep.
Well, before we left Wembley,
yeah,
I think we're drinking beer. I'm not a great champagne guy, but no. I think I had a load of mates over from Belfast. It was about 10 of them over Belfast. I remember when we left the ground, we had to stop the coach so that they could get on it, and they were at the wrong exit. So we were sitting waiting to go back to Churchill, and I've got this coach waiting on 10 guys from Belfast who are half conned anyway. So just little things like that, you know. I should have done the lottery, because it was a perfect day. I'd have won the lottery if I'd done it. It was only on days that the sort of organisation get into it, away from the game, you know, with tickets and people travelling from all sorts of places. That all went smoothly. We trained the day before Brentford. We stayed in the hotel. It was all smooth. Everything went like clockwork. It was just one of them. Well, just one of them things. It was a perfect, perfect day. And how many of them do you get in football, Pete, you know?
No, not many, mate. And especially, like I said, it's your last one. And, you know, knowing yourself as well and your messages that you must have got must have been unbelievable.
Yeah. Not last week, but about a couple of months ago, I must have been on Facebook or one of them things. And I found about 10 messages I hadn't even seen. And I sort of had the answer, people going, I'm really sorry, I've just came across this. But there was loads. But listen, really nice, you know, really, that stuff's really moving, you know, the amount of people who took the time to say congratulations, rang me, text me, you know, whatever way, you know, Twitter, it was just really nice. And another poignant moment for me was after the game, I was just doing the press. And it was the last time I seen Justin Edinburgh, bless him. He actually came over and interrupted the press conference and gave me a hug and had a quick chat with him. And one of the photographers got a photo of it, and I've got it, you know, just where we're talking. It's just a nice thing from a personal thing, because I get on well with him, and you know, even joking about it then, you know, but. And then, you know, what happens a few weeks after the Jason? So that sticks in the head.
Mm-hmm. I mean, trophy-wise, I mean, we the Orient last year, I mean, who do you see? I mean, do you fancy the chances of somebody like Concord Rangers or Howells Owen or someone like that against the big two?
Well, the Hills result was a massive result, I thought, you know, to go to Bournemouth and win. Concord, you would never, ever, ever back against Concord, because that's, they sort of, they've got a bit of Wimbledon about them.
Yeah.
That's sort of who they are and what they are. And I saw a lovely tweet from Ant, the chairman, Anthony, about you said it's, I think it was Royston kid that got coached down, the game was called off, and he offered to pay their coach down for the play out of his own pocket. I just think that's something that you don't hear that every day, and it just made me smile. And you know, you think about our game and how competitive we are within it. Again, believe me, he's a competitive man. I just thought it was a really warm gesture and nice. I think at home they're hard to beat. I think, you know, no matter when you go to Concord, no matter how they're doing, it's not a trip you look forward to. And I think they make the most of that. Could they go all the way? I don't know. I think that the semis would have to be kind to them as well. You'd have to say...
Well, they've got Howells Owen, haven't they? And that's what we were saying.
I did see the draw.
Yeah, they've got Howells Owen. So if they beat them or Royston, but we've been talking to the Howells Owen manager today. They've lost two games all year, and the last one was in September, Dave.
Wow.
They've conceded 15 goals.
That's two-legged as well, isn't it?
Yeah, and even at step four, and I was just saying to Dave here, and you know this more than anyone, when you've got a team that win, you know, you don't really want to play them, do you?
No. I think when you get to the stage of the competition, you're there for a reason. You know, you're never going to, you know, you've got to beat everyone in front if you're going to win it. And you have to focus a lot on what you are, not as much on what they are, but you have to do your homework, but you have to focus on what you are. And I think over two legs, I mean, we did it with Northwich, and the penalties, you couldn't really, and to this day, if someone said, did you deserve to win? I'd have to say, a draw was a fair result. Over two legs, I wouldn't say, we deserved that. No, we didn't deserve to get beat, but it was such an even contest.
Yeah.
And I just feel over two legs, especially if you're away from home first leg, which we all want to be, get out of that with not much of a deficit. And you get out of that, like, if you're in front, magnificent, or all square, and get them back to your place. That's as much as you can hope for, I think, in a two-legged semi.
Just for the managers listening, Dave, how did you approach that? Did you sort of go a little bit more solid defensively away from home, or did you just go, look, we'll just play both the same?
No, we felt that, in a funny way, we felt we might have a better chance to win at Northwoods, because we had them once a couple of times, and we just felt that they were going to have a big crowd and they were going to be expansive and they were going to try and get at us, because that's what you have to do, isn't it? Mm. So we very much went about the game as if we were going out. So you would have thought it would have been a great game, but it was a real edgy affair. I'm not just any conditions on the day, they were off for both sides. Real, you know, gusty winds blowing down the pitch, Keith. Mm. So it turned out it wasn't a great spectacle, but both sides were trying their best. So I just felt that we had a better chance to, let's go and try and win the first one. Came away 1-0 up and then 1-1, and it was probably about fair. And the second game, nothing. Extra time, nothing. And they missed the chance with a minute to go, where my goalkeeper's job, he's made an unbelievable save. But we had three or four chances before that. The second game was a better game, oddly enough, you know. But I don't know. I think you have to look at the opposition, sort out how you want to play against. And we tweaked and moved and didn't change our system, but talked about when they had the ball a lot, against opposition. And Steve Hawkins, who was my assistant manager, was brilliant with that. He would go and watch games and come back and more or less tell me what the plan was. I only changed it. Only changed one thing he did, and it was for the final. And we did the first session, and I tweaked a couple of things after that in the second session. So we kind of have a change, I think he said. But I think once you're clear in your mind, I think that benefits your own players, because we had no doubts about how we wanted to play in each game, even into the final, where the final we were a little bit more, not defensive, but just wanted to be nice and solid and fill the middle of the pitch, because we were very aware of their ability to pass the ball. And believe me, if you can pass it, you want to play on Wembley, don't you? Because it's like a carpet, it's massive, and we just felt that we always knew they were going to have a lot more of the ball than we were, but we felt that we could then counter-attack quite well, and to be fair, it worked well. So each game, Keith, in big games, I think each game you tweak yourself a little bit, don't you?
So Dave, I mean, for people that don't know, I mean, where can people listen to your Gaffer tapes?
Well, obviously, I'm still doing the non-league football show. I think it's still on. And listen, I'm the worst person in the world to ask it, Dave, because I don't tend to listen to myself, believe me. But it's a non-league football show still goes out Friday mornings off the top of my head. And the Gaffer tapes, I'd advise people to listen to Gaffer tapes. I think you'll get it on iTunes and Stitcher and all the normal sort of places. I think it's put out on Twitter as well. Mm. And it's the non-league, I think it's the non-league Gaffer tips. But I'd advise you, advise is the wrong word. I think people, if you're a young manager or you're just an inquisitive manager, it's a real insight. I tell you how good it is. I try not to talk on it. It's definitely about the other guys, and I've really, really enjoyed doing it. It's a bit like, it's a lonely place, Dave, and Keith will tell you that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many people you've got around you, it's a lonely job. And we are a certain breed that do it. And because I've had the benefit now of maybe, I'm going to say, 5 or 6 episodes, it's good for you. I'm struggling to get the words. It's good. It opens your eyes to it, and you know you're not the only one that's struggling with bits and pieces, and you're not the only one that sees this or sees that. And although we're all different people in management, there's lots of common denominators. So I don't know if you're ever struggling to go to sleep, my voice will be in my head. Listen to it. If I ain't bothered about numbers, it's not the sort of, I don't want to be on Match of the Day next week. That's not my thing. It doesn't. This sort of stuff I like and I enjoy it, but I genuinely feel this is a good show for people who like their football.
No, definitely. Also, we need to just quickly mention her while we're here. Have you spoke much to Caroline recently?
No, I spoke to her about, whatever the Super Bowl was.
you must have said the same thing to her as I did then.
Well, she called me from Miami, I think.
Well, you must have got any chance of an invite.
Yeah.
All the work you've done with her, especially she can get you there with her, even if you just need the microphone.
Every year she blows me out when she gets the big job. I spoke to her, that was at Miami Airport, she rang me out of the blue, and I've had a couple of text messages off her here and there because, you know, she's a million miles an hour. And I was hoping they'd get to see her for our show soon, but I think she's doing the netball and that.
She does everything, doesn't she? Obviously, she done the Coventry game yesterday. I did message her the other week when she was at Middlesbrough, and I just went, "You look really cold there," and she went, "Oh, I'm freezing." But, you know, it just goes to show what certain people can do. And Dave, you know, you've been about football a long, long time, and I try and explain this to people. You know, she's one of the most knowledgeable non-league person I know.
Yeah, she really gets it. And I think you listen to her on the radio and you think, but when you work with her, Keith, which we have, when you're beside her and you're watching her work, you know, not only is she an unbelievable presenter and like sort of produces a show nearly as she's going along, but you never trip her up.
No.
You know, she understands football, but she's got a great knowledge of non-league, you know, great knowledge of it. But I think we've lost her to the dark side.
We have.
Now, you know, really,
she's,
you know,
gone now.
You know, because she's...
But she deserves it, and also, she's a genuinely lovely person as well, isn't she?
Yeah, no, she is. She would get her into one place for 5 minutes, you know, she's good fun. But I haven't seen her for ages because of her work, obviously, you know.
Yeah. I'm trying to nail her down, but not much success so far. But we'll nail her down. But so just so your information, Dave, you've got a 5-star rating on iTunes.
You have.
There you go. It's there. 14 reviews, 5 stars. There you go.
Well, there you go. Every day to school. So, well, God bless them. You know. I'm delighted. Thanks very much, Dave. It's always nice to speak. If you're a bit closer, come in. But, you know, you're 150 miles away from
where I am. We're trying to get a bit more mobile this year. And, you know, we're quite happy to come to a pub.
Well, listen, that's definitely a show of the interest of. Bring my way, give me a
shit.
There's no problem.
We'd have to, we can do it after 9 o'clock anyway, but that'd be a great one. Just do it after 5 beers, we're perfectly cold.
That would be fun, yeah. That might be the show that everyone remembers, but you might not have a show the next week.
we win one award.
Yeah, but nah, good to speak.
And you, mate, listen, keep well, and we'll speak to you again soon.
All right, Dave. Thanks, man.
No worries, Dave.
Take care, Dave. Speak soon.
See you later,
mate.
Cheers, bye. I'll be honest with you, I do as well. Out of everybody I think we've ever had on the show, he's always my favourite person to speak to. I think he's just somebody that you can have a laugh and a joke with, and he's got so many different stories that you can just sit there and just feel, you know.
Listen, I as a football manager, he's great and he speaks to you, but I remember, obviously, as you know I used to go up to the BBC a lot and do the non-league show with him and Caroline, and we've done it like a lot most weeks, and we used to meet there beforehand, and he'd talk about football. We was in the same league at the time, and he'd come out with some stories, and he'd go about him, and we'd talk. But he'd always give you the time of day, and as much experience, you've got to listen to a man like David.
No, absolutely.
And he knows it. Always been there, seen it, done it. But what he said there, and even if his last game to his first game, and the one thing, and he similar to me, and he just mentioned, and he hit a few raw nerves, what you're saying about that, with you know, being a lonely place and a dark place, and it is, and you know, mental health issues on football and managers as well is quite a big thing, because a lot of people you don't show many emotions because you've got all these people you look for. But his passion in football is huge, and it's something that obviously I've always had, and he's great at what he does, and he's respectful. And like I said, there's many a football manager now, youngsters, they need to listen to his show, that both the non-league and his gaffer tapes, because a wise man that's been there, seen it, done it, and there ain't many managers that got a record like him.
No, and it is on iTunes. I've just subscribed to it myself, so I'll just sit and have a listen to it. But it's just before we go, it's still Abley 0, Brentwood Town 0, and we are 64 minutes in at that game at the moment. So Brentwood doing well there to keep hold of Abley. But we're looking at the clock, and we've gone way over tonight, but we do apologise. But we've enjoyed the show, especially talking to Mr. Anderson at the end. And we wish everybody all the best of luck in the VARs and replays, or not replays, but games and trophy games as well that can be played out of next week. And but until then, thank you for watching. A massive viewing figures last week of 4,500 people last week. So a massive thank you to everybody there. But me and Keith, we'll see you again same time next week. But until then, good night.